Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 162, the More Big Star episode. How is that for an unimaginative episode title? I'll try to come up with something better later. Maybe, probably won't. Can you tell that I'm sitting on my porch? It is Monday, April 13th, 2015. And we here in North Carolina are in the middle of pine pollen season. I must have experienced this when I was in college, but I don't really recall it, and maybe did not, because at Wake Forest on the campus there were oak trees, but I don't recall pine trees. Where I live in Durham, there is nothing but pine trees. Well, that's not true. There are also oak trees and magnolia trees and dogwood trees and redbud trees and all sorts of things, but tons and tons of pines. I'm not a huge pine fan, but here we are in the midst of the pines, and what happens this time every year, and it's a beautiful time of year, and you can hear the birds singing, I hope. Kelly the Fifth, the birds singing, they're for you. I summoned them before I started recording. In any event, this time of year, the pine trees let go of their pollen. They send their pollen forth into the world, and everything is covered in green, yellow-green dust. In fact, I'm on the porch, and I'm sitting in a chair that is covered in yellow-green dust, and everything is the man during this time of year, which is like a two-week window, and yesterday it seemed to be less, but now I'm looking at my car, and now it's covered with yellow-green pollen. The man will hose down the porch a couple times during this time of year, because there's no point in setting up the porch for springtime living until this is over, but it gets a little icky. But even after he hoses down the porch, the pollen is back, and really it's a little something, you know. I'm not allergic to it, and I don't know. I assume some people are, but it's just, you just kind of feel like, you feel the way, it just feels like dust. It feels like you're living in a kingdom of dust, and your eyes get dry and red and all of that. But it doesn't last that long, and I'm not complaining, because you know me, I do not complain. But here I am on my porch, not thoroughly ensconced in porch living because of the pine pollen. But it's beautiful. The dogwoods are blooming. Our dogwoods took a really big hit from the winter storms this winter, but they're still lovely, and we love them. Travis is here on my lap, but he is calm, nothing to bark about. We were listening to Quilting for the Rest of Us, to Sandy's podcast, the other day, and her dogs barked, and Travis got very concerned, and he started barking and running around looking for those dogs, who are in upstate New York, but he had no idea. He thought they were here in our house. So let me tell you, what is up? Well, first of all, I don't have quilt diaries. It's been a really busy period. Good busy, like really good work to work on. I've been working on the Uncle Eli's Quilting Party video doc, our short little doc, which probably is going to be, again, between 3 and 4 minutes. And the man has put together a couple versions, and now I'm working on narration for it. And our goal is to have it all the way done by the end of the month, so that the Folklife Institute can use it for their email newsletter for May. So we're working on that. I'm writing a grant for Folklife for a traveling photo exhibit, and it's my project, and we're asking the Carolina Panthers for money, as well as Duke Energy. So that's where, as far as I can tell, at least in North Carolina, for arts funding, the best thing to go is after is corporate funding. And you know what? I think corporations should fund. I think they should fund local art. They use local resources. They're part of local communities. And I think they should give us lots of money. I'll let you know what happens. Still waiting to hear from AQS on the quilting novel series idea. I don't really expect to hear for a while. So I sent in my manuscript in early March. It's just mid-April. I would be, you know, a lot of times this kind of thing, it takes several months. So I'm not, you know, it's fun to think, well, maybe they'll get really excited and they'll contact me this week. And maybe they will. Or maybe they'll be underwhelmed and contact me this week to let me know. But I don't really expect to hear anything till June. I'm working on a novel. I am Just doing a lot. The one thing I've not done, man, is clean my house. And that's what I keep thinking when I finish the draft. I'm about to be done with a lot of stuff. Like, I will be done with this grant this week and hopefully done with a good chunk of the video this week. I won't be done with my draft this week, but it would be nice to have a little bit more space to do some stuff. And in fact, this weekend I am dedicating myself to the garden, which is a mess, and I need to go. We have lettuce, and I need to go pick it. I keep forgetting we got it in so late that I keep forgetting we have it. It just became spring very suddenly here. It wasn't spring, and then bam, it was spring, which is nice. We are very happy to have the spring. We have tons of bumblebees. We always have bumblebees, but like this year, it's like we got really big bumblebees and lots of them, and I don't know what's up with that, but you know. There you go. We need them. They're good. Actually, are all bees pollinators? Honeybees? Bumblebees? I'll have to look that up. But they're fine. They're very friendly. They don't bother us. But yeah, so this weekend, I'm hoping Friday, perhaps, to meet the man at the farmer's market in Raleigh, which is the big, big year-round, everyday farmer's market, and do some plant shopping in hopes that their prices are a little better than the place we go here in town. I like to support that place. It's called Stone Brothers, and it's a nice little place. And don't worry, I will spend lots of money there too. But there's some things that some perennials I'd like to see if I could find them a little bit cheaper at the farmer's market. And we need to get some tomatoes. Our frost date is Wednesday. And in fact, the man has already put in some tomatoes. Our neighbor next door, Mr. Eddie, is a big, big tomato grower. And he always, he starts them from seed under the grow lights and probably in January. And he always has tons of plants and gives us extras. So I'm hoping this weekend will be a good garden weekend. I am also hoping this week that I will finish quilting Big Star. I made a lot of progress. Over the weekend, I did make an executive decision to unquilt part of the quilt. I don't know how to describe this. Of course I don't. You know that about me. I can't describe. But so you've got the big star, and say there are, if you went from star tip to star tip, there's a sort of triangle created between the legs of the star. Do stars have legs? Anyway, and I quilted those a certain way and decided I didn't like it. It didn't work. And partly it's, you know me, I love a densely quilted quilt. This is my friend Debbie, out in California. But yeah, and so, and it's a little odd. So this part, the quilting is neat, but it's a little more off kilter, a little more free motion. And the rest of the quilt, it's all straight line quilting, all the different things, section by section, and made different choices for each section. And I like how it looks, and I love how dense quilting looks. And the part that I have unquilted, the quilting was not as dense, and there was some puffiness that looked out of place. So I have an idea of how to re-quilt it, and I need to do that, and I've done one end, I've just got one major section left, which I could probably do in an afternoon and an evening, and then I need to re-quilt what I've unquilted, and that'll be that, and I like how it looks, I really do, but I would like to move on to some other projects. Sherry D and I are talking about working on a Dresden Play quilt together, and I still have not made my basket for my sampler quilt for Jay, and it's, mid-April. This year, I don't know, winter, I'm sure I've talked about, winter is hard, and I get sluggish, and so now I'm very active doing all this stuff, and it's great, but I'm like, how did it get to be mid-April, and I've not done any work on this website I want to build, and I've really done very little EQ7 stuff at all, and so my house is a mess, and I was going to have my house just absolutely organized. I don't have those kind of delusions, but yeah, I'm not sure how it got to be mid-April. The older I get, the faster time goes by, that is for sure. But, so that's, so yeah, so I want to finish Big Star Quilt, get to start thinking about that Dresden Play quilt. Working, I want to make the block for the sampler quilt I'm doing with Jay, and then I think we may just have a couple more blocks. I'm not sure how big we're going, but I've made a lot of blocks. So I've got some projects I would like to finish up, but I really want to do a Dresden plate quilt this year. So I've got stuff moving forward, and of course my quilting resolution that I made over at Quilting for the Rest of Us was to finish my yo-yo quilt. I was talking with my mom yesterday, and she was saying I should take that hand sewing with me to Will's baseball games. We have started baseball season, and it's just that time of year where everything revolves around baseball. I was thinking, yeah, I should. I should take my yo-yos with me, my yo-yo sewing with me to Will's games. There'd be a point where it would get too dark, I think, to do it, but maybe that should be my goal. So sometimes it's weird doing handiwork. But no one else is. You feel like a museum piece. Yes, I'm sewing with a needle and a thread, and yes, we still do that. Anyway, I have to tell you, I had the most delightful conversation the other day. So you know I am a member now of the American Quilt Study Group, which I've enjoyed, and now it's been a week and a half ago, the man and I went to Uncle Eli's quilting party, and I took a lot of pictures, and I posted them on the AQS site, and because this Uncle Eli's quilting party, it's been ongoing for 84 years, and it has been written about in Uncoverings, AQSG journal. So I thought people might be interested to know that it's still going on, and I put some pictures up. And I heard from a woman named Lynn Gorges, which is such a great name, G-O-R-G-E-S, who lives in New Bern, North Carolina, which is, I don't know if New Bern is on the coast, but it's pretty dang close to the coast. And she emailed me. She said, I was there. My friend and I are doing a study on Alamance plaids. And we had a little table set up. And I had seen her there, but every time I went to go, I thought maybe they actually were someone we could interview for the doc. That's, you know, film talk for documentary. She was just surrounded. They were surrounded. And so I never did get to talk to them. Well, that was Lynn. And she said, oh, I wish you'd come up and introduce yourself. And, it's great to, sort of touch base with someone in North Carolina who's interested in textiles. Which would be, of course, strong for me. I'm not wildly interested in textiles. I'm wildly interested in quilts. But maybe that's what she meant. And she said, well, give me your number. I'll give you a call. Which, you know, for me, the introvert is a little bit like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. But I did it. And I just thought, why not? Why not? If you can always get off the phone and whatever. Well, she turned out to be absolutely charming. She's in her early 60s. She makes a living, but repairing, basically doing antique textile repair work and specializing in Civil War stuff. She does a lot of work for museums, and she does quilt restoration work, and that's primarily for museums. She says occasionally people will bring her the quilts they find in their attics, and she said, and she tells them, I can do this, I can restore this quilt, but it will cost you more than the quilt is worth. And some people say, go ahead, that's fine. And other people don't want to make that investment, but she will tell them some things they can do to bring the quilt back to life a little bit. But anyway, she's a quilt historian, has a huge collection of quilts. She has over 200 quilts at her house, and she wants me to come down. She is Southern. She's fabulous. She's from Goldsboro, and just there are certain Southern women who are just, I find, irresistible. They're very funny, and they're smart, and just have great accents, and are tough, but kind of in a ladylike Steel Magnolia sort of way. If you think about, what was her name on Designing Women? Julia, was it Sugarbaker? The oldest sister. There's something about that character I find very appealing, and I felt Lynn was like her in some ways, just her funniness and smartness and what have you. So she's working on a big project right now, and I'm working on several projects right now, so it probably won't be till the summer, but it would be fun to go down. And she suggested perhaps the man and the boys could drop me off on their way to the beach, and they could go to the beach for the day, and then she and I can play. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And she also, there's a quilt historian, teacher, et cetera, named Pepper Corey, who lives, I think, in Beaufort, North Carolina, which is also a coastal city. And although I don't know that New Bern is actually coastal, but I think it might be. I don't know. I'll get out a map. Or you could get out a map. Or we don't really care. Anyway, near the ocean. And she is going to be speaking, actually, at the Durham Orange County Quilt Guild on Monday. And I'm going. And when I mentioned that to Lynn, when we were talking on the phone, she said, I will tell her all about you. You have to go up and talk to her. You tell her that you are friends with me. I will tell. And in fact, she emailed the next day. She said, I talked to Pepper, and I told her to look for you and that she had to meet you, that she would love you. It's all so Southern. It's like suddenly Lynn and I are best friends, and Pepper Corey and I are going to be best friends. But anyway, I have not been to a meeting yet. I'm not in the guild right now, but I want to rejoin. It's hot. Mondays are very hard because the man covers the state legislature, which meets at night on Mondays, and that is less of an issue now because Will and Jack can hang out by themselves and are perfectly fine with both me and the man gone. But also Will has baseball on Mondays, and sometimes it's a practice and sometimes it's a game. But if the man's working at the legislature, then I'm in charge of getting Will to where he's going. And on Monday, of course, Will doesn't have a game. He has a practice that goes from 5 to 7, and that means the man's really not gonna be able to get there. So I was talking with the man, I'm like, what do you think about Will just skipping practice on Monday? And he's like, that's fine, because they play 3 times a week whether they're practicing or having games. So yeah, and Will will be fine with that too. He doesn't have a problem missing practice. I mean, I think he likes it, but I think when you're playing 3 times a week, sometimes you're like, okay, I could use a break now. So I think he's going to get a break, and I'm going to go and meet my new best quilt historian friend, Pepper. But that's kind of neat. And you know, North Carolina, from what I can tell, does not have a huge contingent of quilt historians. There are other areas. It seems like Virginia's got a lot going on, which maybe makes sense because of their colonial history. I don't know. But anyway, so that was very fun. It was really cool, and it was a good, fun phone conversation. You know, the only thing, it's funny because, you know, I don't know if I'm even saying this right. I'm such an autodidact, I think that's how you say it, that I don't know how to pronounce words. It's like I was talking with the man about this book that I've been reading called The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. It's fascinating and really worth reading. But it's the idea that the drug on wars has created a new caste system, because just what going to prison and being a convicted felon, the way that it affects your life, the way having all these young men pulled from their communities affects the community's life, et cetera, et cetera. It's good stuff. But I kept referring to it as a case system because, you know, readers don't know how to pronounce words. Jack used to say, instead of optional, it was optinal, you know, which makes perfect sense. And I used to say, instead of echinacea, kinesia, because you just start pronouncing words in your head a certain way. So yes, it's not case system, even though it looks like it should be case system. It's caste system. Where was I going with that? What word was I mispronouncing? No, I'm totally off. Quilt and Jenny. So, you know, my last episode, if you listened to it, I was talking about, I couldn't think of the word service, that I needed to get my machine serviced. And, you know, and I just drive Jenny crazy, I think, sometimes, as much as I'm sure she loves me. And she tweeted yesterday or the day before, you wanted to get your machine serviced. And, you know, I could just hear her yelling from Atlanta. So, yeah, I can't go back to where I was talking about quilting, talking about quilt history, talking about not a lot going on. I don't know. I'm lost. Let's move on, ladies. Let's move on. I did want to tell you about another book. I'm in the process of reading it, and it's really good, although it's starting to get dark. which I should have known that it would, but it's called Station 11. And the author's name is something like Emily something, St. John something. I don't know. It's a long last name. And she looks like she is about 10. She looks at her author's picture. She looks like a young Anne Hathaway. A little rounder in the face, but just had those huge brown eyes. And she looks 10. And she's a brilliant writer. And it's very good. Although I hit the part last night where I was like, oh, I don't know if I can keep going with this. Not because it was getting bad, not because I wasn't curious about what happened, but it was getting kind of scary. And I'm so wimpy in my reading. I'm like, I could be reading something really nice right now. But I probably, you know, part of me is like, maybe I shouldn't be reading this at bedtime. Probably not. I'm still trying to think what word I was mispronouncing. I don't know. It's going to bug me. I could actually go back and listen to this, but I'm not going to. We're all going to be bugged by this together. So that's another thing, my kind of new quilt history clique that I'm in. Part of the North Carolina clique now. Me, Lynn, Pepper. That may be it. We shall see. And it's talking about baseball. Yes, that we are doing a lot of baseball. Going to not go to baseball on Monday, most likely, so I can go to the Quilt Guild meeting, and I think I will join again in hopes that I can be a more faithful attendee. I want to do that as a quilter and a quilt studier and, you know, an amateur folklorist, all the reasons. So even though I'm not that much of a group person, I did go to a meeting. So I'm taking a Sunday school class. Boy, that's a loud bird. Called Jesus Was a Prisoner. It's been very good. I really like the Sunday school class leader, who's a divinity student over at Duke. Her name is Casey. And she got me to, she was the one who, we have not been reading The New Jim Crow, but we've been talking about it. And so I finally decided I'm going to get my own copy and read it. So I have been, and she and I met the weekend before Easter, and we're talking about some things that she's hoping might happen in the Duke Memorial congregation, and some things she's got planned, and da 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 da. And you know, she said, you know, there's this meeting, a community meeting about the new Jim Crow in Durham. You know, Thursday, the 9th, I guess. And she's like, you ought to go to that if you can. And so I decided to go. And what it was is there were a lot of groups. It was a community read. We were not reading this for our Sunday school class, but a number of churches and Sunday school classes and other groups like the Durham People's Alliance, which is a political organizing group in Durham, read it and came to this meeting at, in East Durham, and which is certainly an area that has been affected by the war on drugs. And it was interesting. It's always, you know, of course, what happens 5 minutes into the meeting starts, and what do? We break up into small groups of 8 to 10, which is my least favorite thing to do in the world. But we do it. And it was an interesting discussion of how the war on drugs has played out in Durham. And we actually, my group actually had a long talk about gentrification. Durham is really changing a lot. It's, you know, and it gets mentioned in the New York Times, and it's, you know, been one of, you know, a few years ago, they do every year, like, you know, 33 places you need to visit this year, or some number of places, and Durham was one of them. And I was reading, Bon Appetit. At the hairdresser's the other day, waiting for Will and Jack to get their hair cut, and they mentioned a bakery, and they were talking about bread, and one of the bakeries they were talking about was a bakery in Durham. It's a big foodie scene now. A lot of young, arty types are moving downtown, and where the real estate's pretty cheap, and so it's just sort of classic gentrification. But of course that means, and now it's like there's all this building going on downtown, like a lot of condos are going up, new housing's being built, old stuff's being torn down and new houses, and which means that rents are going up and property values are going up, which can be good if you own your home, but can be bad if you're trying to buy and are on, are lower income. So that was an interesting discussion, because I think in general, if you live where I live, it's like all that growth and all that building seems like a really cool thing. It's like, it's great for Durham. Durham used to be the place where people wouldn't go because there was so much crime. That's been a long time ago, but that reputation is still hangs on. And so it's like, oh, this is this cool, funky place to be. But, you know, if you're poor, it means you're getting pushed out. So it's an interesting thing to think about. So it was a good discussion, but in general, it's just like my least favorite situation. I just want to go to these things and not be, you know, not have to talk and just listen and listen to other people, what other people have to say. And, you know, and it's never that way. I should stop going to these things. I'm actually going to something similar. There's a community action group called Durham Can, and I'm not, and it's CAN, and I can't remember what they stand for. But I will probably go to that this week and just see what the deal is. Just feeling like I should do something in my community. Should there come a judgment day, I think I could be judged pretty harshly for just kind of sticking to my own thing. So we're seeing what's out there. So yeah, but unfortunately, this thing on Thursday, they'll probably want us to break into small groups, and yeah. Not my deal at all. So that's kind of about it, except I did want to say thank you. We're going to have to walk inside, which means I'm going to have to let Travis gently off my lap. Go, be free, young pup. Yeah, he's just looking at me like, I don't want to be free. I want to sit on your lap. We're going to go in to my computer so we can talk about... I didn't get a ton of comments this time. I don't know why. Maybe it wasn't a really good episode. Maybe it was too long. Maybe you don't love me anymore. It's probably that. No one loves me anymore. Well, Noni does, because she commented 3 or 4 times. So I've always got Noni, and I do have Kelly the Fifth, who enjoyed hearing me record on the porch. She talked about, you know, I must have talked about the rain, because she's in Southern California, and so what she's got to deal with is the drought. And apparently the local water company is sending people door to door to explain the new rules about watering and whatever. So, you know, I really hope you guys get some rain. That's hard times. One thing that Kelly the Fifth said that was heartening to me, I talked about how just trying to deal with the stitches, doing this quilt where I'm using gray thread for the quilting, and then the bobbin thread is orange to go with the back of the quilt. And I don't know if there's something, like, again, whether or not I need my machine serviced, or if it's just having two such contrasting threads that little pieces of color are showing up. But she says, I don't think it's possible to have a perfectly matched stitch for machine quilting if the threads aren't close in color. That's why a lot of people use busy prints on the back of the quilt. I do have an extra bobbin case I fiddle with to help out with the tension when it is especially tricky. I say own the little dots. One teacher told me they were design element. And, you know, the little orange dots, they are kind of cool on really, you know, in a quilt that's got a lot of gray. So I will own the dots. Thank you, Kelly the Fifth. I heard from Noni, who sent some good links to quilt collections. And, yeah, she sent a couple links. And she was talking, she talked about the quilt show. I was talking about Uncle Eli's quilting party, and she said it sounded like most of the guild quilt shows around here in Michigan, which is where Noni lives, and most of the guilds do it to raise money for various charitable organizations. They charge a modest admission, lunch is sold. I love them because you see the new quilts, even some works in progress, if the ladies are having demos. Now, the one thing, and that does sound like Uncle Eli's party, except this is really cool. There is no admission, and there's no buying and selling, and lunch is free. So even if you don't bring anything, lunch is free. You're welcome to coffee. You're welcome to the drinks. You're welcome to eat what you want to eat. It's a really neat thing. And she also gave me some information about how they get PR out about their quilt shows. And that will be good to know, because I am going to help at least a little bit next year publicize the show. Heard from Lynn D. in NC. I wonder where you are in NC, Lynn D. And she says she doesn't know if I made a decision about the sashing. This is for my In the Garden quilt, the Block of the Month quilt. And Lynn, I have not. She wants to know, what about black or deep navy or green to go with the garden theme? And that if you have scraps of the colors left, you could use them for cornerstones. Interesting idea. Or make the sashing a three-strip sashing with the dark sandwiching a scrappy strip of the colored fabrics. That's a really interesting idea. I don't know that there's much fabric left over, but they're batiks and I might be able to match them. So that is something that I will look into. Heard from Terry and who says, oh my goodness, I bet your heart dropped when you couldn't find my son. It really did. You get to that point where, you know, because at first it's just like, where are you? This is your last episode. I talked about losing Will at church. And then which starts switching to panic mode, like, oh my goodness. So yes, that was a little scary. I heard from Debbie, my friend Debbie, my new best quilting buddy. When did we get together? November? Yes, the bloom is still on the rose. And she says that she's glad she's not the only one who can't think of ordinary words when I want to use them. It makes me crazy. And in fact, last night I was talking to my mom on the phone and I was telling her, and that's what we were talking about, doing handiwork at baseball games. And I was like, yeah, I could do that. And I can never come up with the word yo-yo for the yo-yo quilt. It's always jelly roll, popcorn, and then finally yo-yo. So that's really weird. And it's really irritating. It's not really weird. I think it's fairly normal, but it is very irritating. Tammy wanted to know, did I get my machine serviced or tuned up? Not either yet, Tammy, but I do kind of like the idea of tuning up. Tuning up the machine. That's what I'm going to do. And, yes. And finally, I think this is final. No, I got a sort of a late... Never late, Amy. You're never late. But a comment from Amy, Amy Laura, about my friend issue, which is fine. You know, I haven't seen a lot of my friend, which is for the best, I think, just to have a break from any of those issues, to kind of just let things calm down. We're getting to a nice time of year where Will and her son will probably start hanging out together some on the weekends, and that'll be good. But I'm enjoying not having a lot of contact right now. Yes. So anyway, Amy, thank you for that comment. And one last thing from Noni is that I've talked about, you know, I really want to get Barbara Brackman's Encyclopedia of Blocks, and she wants to recommend Jenny Byers' book. She says it has the same information, the plates are in color, and it's just as good a compilation of books and still in print. Now, here's one of the things I'm interested in seeing with Barbara Brackman is her system. You know, she developed a system, and I wondered, does Jenny Byers borrow from that system? Because, do you know what I mean? It's like she numbers the blocks, and I think that the numbers are meaningful beyond just chronology. And I think those numbers, oftentimes you'll be reading things about blocks, about quilts, and Brackman's numbers will be used to, you know, to connotate the block, exactly what block this is. So that's what I'd be curious about. But I will look at that, and perhaps that will be, you know, I've got Mother's Day and my birthday coming up, so maybe that will make my list of Jenny Byers while I wait to stumble across the Barbara Brackman book at some ridiculously cheap price that will make me whoop with glee. So yes, by the way, on my list for birthday and or Mother's Day, hammock. I saw one in an issue of Country Living. I tore it out. And I would like a hammock. Even though our backyard can get a little buggy, that's okay because the mosquitoes don't bug me too much. And I just love that idea so much. By the way, Paducah is coming up. Is anyone going to Paducah? My mom and I aren't. We would like to, and perhaps we will. So it's April 22nd through the 25th, and I would love to hear. Oh, this is interesting. I just pulled this up. I just got an email from AQS about Paducah. Take advantage of advanced registration and secure your seat today for lectures and special events with renowned quilters, instructors, and authors like David Taylor, Melinda Beulah, and Anne Hazelwood. And Anne Hazelwood is an author of AQS novels. So hey, maybe if they publish my books, I'll get to go to Paducah for free. That would be very cool. All right, guys, I'm going to end things here. I don't know what kind of pictures I'll have for you. Maybe I'll post some pictures from Uncle Eli's quilting party and try to get a semi-decent picture of the quilting I have done so far, so you can see all the progress I have made, as well as the unquilting on the Big Star quilt. And we're going to make it a goal, finish it this week. I think I can. I've got some baseball. I've got baseball game tonight, although I may leave halfway, which I did on Friday. Friday was a long baseball day because they had their pictures done before their game. So we kind of left the house at 5. And I didn't get dinner. So I the man came over to the park for the game, and I left about 8:30 to come home and eat. So, yeah. And tonight's game. They're playing, Will's team has played 2 games, they've won both, and in his league there are 5 teams, 3 in the middle, his team is supposed to be one of the middle teams, then one that's really bad, and that's the team we played Friday, and one of the reasons I left is because we were already beating up on them, and by the time it was over, it was 25 to like 5, that was not, I don't even like those games, you know, I don't find them fun. At some point they get really boring. But anyway, but tonight, so there's then the last team is supposed to be unbeatable. And that's who we're playing tonight. So maybe at some point I will, I will take Will over and the man will come from work. And at some point I might just sneak off. And then we've got baseball practice Wednesday night. So I will have some time this week. And also last week, the man took some vacation days to work on taxes and do some things he'd been wanting to do. And it's nice to have the man home, but I have to say for working purposes, it's like today was great just to kind of sit down to work and just not have any distractions was a beautiful thing. So I'm hoping this week will be a really, really good work week. And a really, really good quilting week. So yes, my goal is to finish Big Star by the end of the week. Fingers crossed. Send me good vibes. Consider commenting. That would be so sweet of you. I know you're commenting in your head. You've been commenting all the way along. You've been reminding me about how to get back from my tangents. And it didn't work this time. Yes, so comment. Just feel free. Just to say, hey. I enjoyed listening to your podcast. Thanks. You don't even have to say thanks. You don't have to be grateful. Oh, yeah. Anyway, all right, I'm just going on and on. And I'm going to say more stupid things as I do. So, yes, I would love to hear from you. It's theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. You can also email, and that is F as in Francis, Dowell as in do well, fdowell@nc.rr.com. So you could do that too. Would love to hear from you. I hope you have a great week. Life is short. Quilt first. See ya.